everybody. Welcome back to Lipstick and Lightsabers. I am Shannon.
And I'm Alex.
And we are back with another episode of The Bad Bachelor. Unfortunately, in these two episodes, we did not get a visit from the Golden Bachelorette. So disappointing. but things are really heating up for The Bad Batch. And I just want to say, online, everybody has been like, guys, it's going to get darker. And I just, like, we have episodes left. I'm scared. So before we get into that, we do have some recommendations. So Alex finally watched Anyone But You.
Yeah, it was really good.
It is really good.
Like, rom-coms are back.
That is what it feels like, though. Like, and I really feel like Sydney Sweeney is just, like, killing it. Like,
yeah.
I love that for her.
I kind of love her career trajectory because she's doing a lot of producing and she's making the movies that, like, she wants to see and the movies that she wants to be in. Like, Immaculate, for example. Like, that was, like, something that she was going to be a part of, like, 10 years ago. And then for whatever reason, it wasn't made and she was really passionate about it. So now she's, like, she produced it so it could be made now. And, like, the same with Anyone But You. Like, she produced that, too. Like, it's, like, really inspiring to see her, like, really take charge of her own career.
Well, especially with, like, how young she is, too. And you're right. Like, she's just like, this is the type of movie I want to make, and she will do anything in order to make it happen. I haven't seen Immaculate yet, but I have heard good things. I've heard that the beginning is very stereotypical jump scary, but then, like, it gets weird.
And, yeah, I, like, heard the end is really good. The ending was really good.
I've been living for, like, this era of, like, horror movies that, like, are also weird. Like, I'm totally into that. So that's really exciting for me. I hope that she, like, whatever her next project is, like, I really feel confident that it's going to be good. Like, I don't think she would sign her name to it if it wasn't going to be good.
Yeah.
Now, she did say, like, Madame Web was, like, a paycheck. But she also, like, I remember from interviews, like, she really researched, like, the character that she was playing. Yeah. Like, she read the comic. She wanted to get it right. Like, she
Sydney Sweeney is, like, so smart. Do you know she was, like, valedictorian of her high school?
That's awesome.
I feel a lot of people... it doesn't surprise me that she goes so deep, like, researching stuff.
I feel like a lot of people think, like, her and, like, Cassie from Euphoria are, like, the same person.
And I think she's, just, like, opposite.
It's, like, could not be farther from the truth. Which, speaking of, word on the street is they are not making Euphoria Season 3 anymore. And, like, honestly, let them go.
All the rumors over Euphoria are so weird because it sounded like HBO wanted to go forward without Sam Levinson. And then, like, a lot of the cast members were like, no, we want him.
Which was really surprising to me.
Yeah.
Like, that was weird. I felt weirded out by that a little bit. I also felt a little weird with, like, even, like, some of Zendaya's ideas for the direction of the show.
Yeah, that was weird.
But at the same time, like, I feel like the plot of the show is a mystery to everyone except for Sam Levinson. I feel like he's the only one who knows what's going on.
I feel like season two ended in a way where it could just end.
It could. Season two was very strange. Like, I think season one plus, like, the two specials were just so good.
The specials
were so good. Especially, like, Hunter Schafer's. I really loved that one about Jules.
And she wrote it, too.
Yeah. Like, I would be into, instead of, like, a season three, like, having more specials just about the other characters.
Yeah.
Because the characters are so good.
That.
Like, that's why people watch Euphoria. It's because the characters, not for the plot, because there isn't one. So,
I mean, at least they know that they have to do a time jump. Like, they are aware that the actors are too old to be in high school. And it sounds like there will be a time jump if they do a third season.
Yes, which they apparently has always been planned. And it definitely, like, could you imagine seeing, like, Jacob Elordi in high school again?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's getting weird, but I don't know. We'll see. I really like that everybody from Euphoria has been really successful outside of Euphoria. So I'm really happy for them. So Alex also watched Love Lies Bleeding, which I can't even find a showing anywhere. It shows like once a day at one theater, yeah, like an hour south of here.
It's only once a day at my theater, like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's not even like a prime time showing. It's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon every day. So I went on Good Friday, and it was actually a full theater. It's because a lot of people have Good Friday off here. So it was pretty full, and it was really good. It's a thriller, and I will say, like, it's not a horror movie, but, like, you were saying about, oh, horror movies these days have had that, like, weird factor.
Mm-hmm.
This movie also had that.
I feel like I know that this isn't the case, but I feel like it... The way people talk about how Love Lies Bleeding gets weird is almost like how it's almost in the same vein of how people talked about Saltburn getting weird. Not like for the sickos, but like, you know what I mean? Where it was just like darker and weirder than you thought it was going to be.
It's not darker than I thought it was going to be. Okay. I think I was like, from the trailers have that tone that it is dark. Mm-hmm. I think that's right on. The trailers have none of the weirdness. Like, the weird stuff, and, like, you can't help but just, like, explode in laughing at certain parts. And it kind of breaks that tension, but in a well-done way. Like, it doesn't feel stupid. It's just like, oh my god, like, what's happening?
It's just insane. Yeah.
It's like, this is just silly, goofy. Like,
which I love. Like, I love all of this commentary always makes me circle back around to Malignant and Barbarian, which is, I feel like, where this started.
Yeah. Like, I cannot, like, Barbarian scared me so bad. I can't.
Did you ever watch Malignant, though?
No.
Okay, so let me tell you. I would give anything to be able to watch Malignant for the first time again. Because it's like you can't even explain this movie other than just to say that it's like absolutely 1000% bananas. And I started to realize, I was like, I think this is what's happening. But I was like, that's so weird. That cannot be what's happening. And then it was happening. And it just... And just, it's like you have to laugh because you're just like, what is going on?
Yeah. I think the funniest thing about Love Lies Bleeding is it builds up. So it's like the silly goofiness just like slowly scales up. Like there's like a little joke here, a little weird thing there that you almost don't notice it so much. And you're like, oh, like that's goofy. Like, haha, whatever. But by the end, the silly goofy goes like bigger and bigger and bigger until the very end, like the final weird goofy reveal, everyone's just like laughing so hard.
I love that. I love that for Kristen Stewart. That's amazing.
Yeah, Kristen was so good in it, and so was Katie O'Brien, who is having such a great career, like being in The Mandalorian, being in Quantumania. I think I saw she was cast in something else. Oh, Mission Impossible. Impossible. And I feel like she's getting like a lot of like secondary roles. Obviously, Love Lies Bleeding, her and Kristen are basically both the main roles. But I think she's going to have such a big career and like lead a lot of things. She's a really good actress.
That's awesome because she is really good. I still think about her character from The Mandalorian because it's just that one episode. Yeah. Was so good.
Did you see that Dev Patel was saying that he wants to be in a rom-com?
Yes.
And Katie O'Brien quote tweeted and was like, sign me up.
Oh my god. Sydney Sweeney, your next project is to direct or produce their movie. Thank you. The last thing for recommendations is that Alex has read Check and Mate, which
Yeah, by Allie Hazelwood.
Yes, I have it in my possession. I got it from the library.
This was my favorite Allie book.
I'm really excited. I haven't read an Allie book since Love on the Brain.
Ooh, yeah, this was my favorite. I think it's actually classified as YA.
Okay.
I don't know if I would classify it as YA. It definitely, like, is less explicit with the smut.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the only reason why it's downgraded, because the characters are still, like, mature, though.
Okay.
So I'm not sure I would necessarily classify it as YA.
Mm-hmm.
But it's less smutty than some of her other books.
Okay. Which, like, I am fine with, because sometimes it's too much.
Honestly, like, it didn't make a difference to me. And it was just, it reminded me of some really good fics we used to read.
Mm.
You could really feel the Raylo in this book.
Which I need. Like, I've kind of been, like, in a little bit, like, of a reading slump, I guess you could say.
And like, it's like our favorite version of Raylo, like the Raylo fix that we like the most, like that dynamic. Because like, you know, everyone has their favorite Raylo dynamic within fic, and this one for sure is like what we like.
I'm very much looking forward to that. I'm gonna read that next, and then I'm gonna listen to a couple other books. I put one other book on hold. It was an S.T. Gibson book, I think, because she has like a new book that's out. And I have to finish Songbirds and Snakes. I have to finish.
Just get it out of the way. Rip it like a band-aid.
I really do like it better. I don't know what's happening. I just can't get through it. And it makes me, like, I remember I tore through Mockingjay on this reading, and yet I can't get through Songbirds and Snakes for some reason, even though I really like it. So, I don't know. We'll see how it goes. Moving on to the news, though. So many things.
Yeah, we probably forgot some stuff, honestly.
I think we definitely forgot some stuff. But the biggest thing is we finally got the first trailer for Acolyte, and it is premiering on June 4th. So that'll be a whole month after the series finale of The Bad Batch.
Yeah. This was so exciting because there were rumblings like the day before that the trailer was going to drop. And I'm just like, is it real? Is it really going to happen tomorrow?
Oh my gosh.
And you were at work and you didn't get to watch it for a few hours. Yeah. And I think I sent you like so many tweets. Yeah. I messaged you and I was like, don't open Twitter until you watch the trailer.
Which is like so smart to do because I just know when I'm at work that I have a lot of Twitter messages. So, like, I know I don't have time to open Twitter, so, like, I'll open Instagram. And so you were like, don't open Twitter. I'm like, cool. Okay, I'll open it later. Yeah, it was really, really good. Like, Alex mentioned it, like, in the millions of messages that she sent to me. But, like, this is really good Star Wars.
It's like really, really good Star Wars. It's lipstick and lightsabers.
It is. It's so our brand. Like, I couldn't imagine a show that is more our brand than
Acolyte.
Like,
mysterious, like, dark siders, lots of women.
But it's also so colorful. Mm-hmm. Like, did you also notice, like, how colorful it looked?
Yeah.
Like,
well, that's the High Republic of it all.
That is
like,
true.
It's not, it's not, like, grungy. Like, they're, like, in gold and, like, linen robes. Like, they're, like...
Well, even, like, our assassin girl...
is wearing purple.
Yeah, she's got, like, this purple cloak on.
Yeah.
Which is so cool. We talked about, like, after The Bad Batch, we're gonna do, like, a whole episode with, like, speculation and predictions and, like, all that kind of stuff. Because there's a lot going on here. Like, we see our girl, Vernestra. We see some hints to maybe the path of the open hand or the closed fist or whatever they are at this moment.
Yeah.
Like, I feel Marta Rowe in this Chili's tonight. I feel
you're gonna get a Marta Rowe name drop.
Okay, but like, here's the thing, right? Like, how long do Ever Rinny live? What if she's still alive?
I don't, yeah, maybe. Like, except, Leslie said that the only High Republic character would be Vernestra.
For now.
In season one.
Yeah, they're already planning a second season. I love when Star Wars plans. I love when Star Wars makes plans.
Yeah, I love when Star Wars has, like, one singular vision.
And doesn't just piece it together as they go along, as they always do. When she said, like, oh yeah, I'm saving people for season two, like, I think I blacked out. I was like, what do you mean you have a plan? The only time they've done, like, this is like Andor.
Bad Batch has a plan.
Andor has a plan. I would not say that Mandalorian has a plan.
No.
I wouldn't. I don't even think Ahsoka has a plan. I'm so sorry. No. Yeah, I'm really excited. It looks really good. And, what's his name? Manny?
Jacinto?
Yes. We only see him for, like, a second, and I'm already like, I stand that man.
I'm like, that's Pookie.
That's Pookie right there. Pookie's looking straight fire.
And also, Charlie Barnett is also Pookie.
Yes. Is he Re-Silas reborn?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That is also Pookie.
He's a Jedi. He's not a master, but he is a Jedi.
He's and a by-the-books Jedi. He's just
by-the-books Jedi. Everything about that, like,
I'm sorry. He's going to fall in love with the Sith assassin.
I hope so.
Like... Leslie strikes me as somebody who'd be like, okay, here's your by-the-books Jedi, now let's mess up his life as much as possible.
And you know that, like, Leslie Headland has a good relationship with Charlie because he basically co-starred Russian Doll.
Mm.
Like, they have a good working relationship. She's going to give him a good role, like, to stick a stick into. It's so exciting.
This is so exciting. And also, a lot of people were speculating if Yoda was going to be in the trailer, and he wasn't. Because Yoda is the problem with everything.
I also love all the speculation about whether Yoda's going to be a puppet or not. Like, or but, what he should be. Like, what do you think he should be?
I mean, he's probably going to be CG.
He should be CG.
I think
like,
he's
going
to be.
Like, is that weird for me to say? Like, I actually think he should be CG.
Like, the only reason Grogu works as a puppet is because Grogu doesn't, like, talk or, like, blink or anything, you know
but
what I
mean? But he's also, like, post-OT.
Yeah.
Like, because Yoda, like, it would be, I think, weird to me to see puppet Yoda, then CG Yoda, and then puppet Yoda again.
Yeah. I agree. I think he's going to be... CG. I could see them doing like a little bit of practical. Well,
I guess he's CG in Phantom Menace. No, yeah. He's puppet.
No, he's CG in Phantom Menace.
Are you sure? Because what's her face? Yaddle.
Oh my god. Isn't Do you think Yaddle will be in the series? No, I'm pretty sure that's all CG in. I'm like pretty. Listen, we're fake fans. Everybody knows this.
He's Puppet Yoda, man.
He's Puppet Yoda.
I had a feeling. Except, did they fix him? Oh, they changed. Did they upgrade it on the re-release in 2011? I think that's what happened.
I think so, because that's what I've seen.
Yeah, Blu-ray.
Yeah, I've seen the Blu-rays.
Okay,
so.
But Shannon, he was a puppet. Can you see it?
I'm trying to open it. I've seen the Blu-ray. I did not see the that puppet face. I think, although, let me be so real right now, can I be like so for real for a second? Okay. I do think Leslie Headland would do that, like, for the meme.
Yeah,
make him puppet Yoda for the meme.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she has buddies
with Rian Johnson, and Rian did do puppet.
Yeah. So, like, I could see that happening. I could totally see that happening.
They haven't done CG Yoda since Revenge of the Sith. Because the only times we've seen him has been in animation.
That's true.
Since The Last Jedi, specifically.
Do we think that he's going to be, like, flipping all over the place, though? Like, he's in his young lad era.
His young lad era? No, he's in his, like, gatekeep era.
Yeah, well... like, this is his gatekeep era. Like, well, if this is his gatekeep era, when's his gaslight era?
That's the original trilogy.
Is that the original trilogy? Is his gaslight era?
He gaslights the heck out of Luke.
Yoda never has a girl boss era, or we just haven't seen his girl boss era.
It's not the prequels?
I would argue that that's still him gatekeeping. That's still a gatekeep era. Because he's from Anakin.
His girl boss era is Last Jedi.
That's his only girl boss moment is The Last Jedi. So, we will get a big sneak peek of Acolyte. Well, I say big. I don't know. But for May the 4th, they're re-releasing The Phantom Menace. So, do you think they're going to re-release puppet version or CG version?
It's definitely going to be CG version, even though I kind of want to see puppet.
I kind of want to see puppet version now. I think that'd be really funny.
It's going to be the version that's on Disney+.
Yeah. I definitely want to see Phantom Menace in theaters. We were just talking about this, like, low-key Phantom Menace, one of my favorites. Not even gonna lie. Great.
Yeah, it's really so good. Excited. I did see it as a kid in theaters, so obviously I don't remember. But I'm really excited.
Yeah, I'm really excited. So our other big news that has kind of thrown Alex and I into a Virgo state of mind is that Star Wars Celebration Tokyo tickets officially go on sale in 1 month, so May 3rd.
Yeah.
I feel stressed even just saying that out loud.
I feel less stressed after Virgoing it out.
Yeah. No, listen, okay, so, like, Alex and I have been, like, sending TikToks about Tokyo and going to Japan and, like, all this kind of stuff back and forth to each other, and I told her, I'm like, have you made a Google Doc yet? And you're like, no, I'm gonna wait. And then, like, an hour later, you're like, just kidding, already made it. And I open up this Google document, and it's, like, stunning. And I said, wow, you really Virgoed it, Alex.
Okay, but it's, like, longer than it was that day. It's 10 pages now.
Yeah, Alex said, sorry, I can't have as a Google document.
I am, like, and this is, like, not even completely done.
No, I know. Like,
I still haven't, like, put in some of my resource stuff for Disney. like the Fast Pass stuff, like Fantasy Springs. I haven't done that yet. I did a lot for the city stuff.
Yes.
And then Celebration. I looked at the hotels in the area. The crazy thing about Japan is everything is ticket-based. And it's like you need a ticket for everything. And you need to be online getting that ticket for everything, kind of like the Eras Tour, like, in the queue.
Yeah.
Like, and it feels a little bit stressful. Mm. But I think as long as I keep on top of, like, what dates things become available, it'll be fine.
Yeah. So this is the thing. Like, I live to just get drug along on Alex's plans because she plans for everything, and it's great.
Yeah, like, I already made a whole section on, like, pocket Wi-Fi and currency. But Shannon's the one doing Duolingo. I haven't that started is true. Duolingo.
I just did day 7 of my Japan Duolingo. I was like, Alex sent me this thing about, I can't even remember. And I was like, excuse you, I can ask for water and rice. Thank you. It's like, simultaneously not as bad as I thought it was going to be, and also very hard. I don't know how to explain that. Like, the alphabet is so foreign. Yeah. But at the same time, like, I felt like such like a dumb, like, person, because I found out that in Japanese you end with the verbs, right? So, like, you don't say it's water, you say water it is. And I was like, oh my gosh, like Yoda.
Like Yoda.
And then I stopped and I was like, that's why Yoda makes talks sense. That way, isn't it? But yeah, I'm really enjoying it, actually.
It's like, it's not like it. And, like, also, like, Japan feels less scary the more research you do.
Yes.
Like, I was like, oh, like, this is gonna be, like, it does still feel like we're going to go to another planet, but at the same time, I feel confident in that, like, I am preparing for everything.
Yeah, well, and there's going to be 4 of us as long as I am allowed to go. I'm just going to plan to go until I'm told otherwise. But then by that point, it'll probably be too late for them to tell
me. Yeah, because, no. Like, I feel like, well, when you go to book flights, like, that's gonna be when you need the permission, right?
Yeah. Well, and, like, I was thinking about that the other day, because we're gonna have a new principal next year.
Oh.
So I did think about that. Yeah, our principal's retiring at the end of the year. So I did think about that. I did, in fact. And it's going to be during testing. But, like, what can you do? What can you do?
Like, Celebration is going to be in Japan. What am I going
to
do?
What am I supposed to do? Not go? Like, I don't think you understand. So, yeah, that's going to be really, really exciting. And the tickets are not as expensive as they could be.
Yeah, of the yen. I mean, like, to me, doing all my research, flights are expensive, but
that's gonna be like
there
the
are
most
cheaper.
Expensive part is flying.
Yeah, the most expensive part, like hotels and flying, but then like feeding yourself, like eating out or going to, you know, 7-Eleven to get food, like that stuff's cheaper. Mm-hmm. Souvenirs are cheaper. Tickets to Disneyland are cheaper. So much cheaper. They're like $65 a day to go to Disneyland.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, like Magic Kingdom in Orlando is like getting close to $200 a day.
Yeah. The only thing is that people get to Disneyland like 3 hours before it opens.
But that's why we're going to have to stay like on property in Tokyo Disneyland. So that's our plan, is that we want to stay on the monorail there. Yeah.
Alex has a three-hotel problem, as you might say.
A three-hotel problem. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like, though, it's, like, pretty normal to do that in Japan, or if you were doing Europe, too.
Well, and honestly, like, with the prices and stuff, it's, like, very it's hard to wrap your mind around it from, like, an America standpoint, because in America, I'd be like, why are you switching hotels every 2 seconds? Like, that sounds so unreasonable. But in Japan, like, it's kind of makes sense.
Also, Tokyo is so big. And if you are planning on going, just know that the convention center, Mahurakari Messe,
is very far away.
Is far. It's in Shiba Prefecture, which is also where Disneyland is, but even those two locations are like an hour on the subway.
Yeah.
Even though they're in the same prefecture.
It's very big.
Yeah, it's a huge city. Even like we were talking about, we want to go to the Ghibli Museum.
Mm-hmm.
And that's even like a bit ways out of like kind of the center of the city.
Yeah. I'm really excited, though. Like, I think it's going to be really, really cool. I know a lot of people aren't going to be able to go because of the price of the flights and how far away it is. But, like, I'm really excited to try this because I don't know when else I would go to Japan again.
Yeah.
Although, after all the research we're doing, I'm already, like, I want to go another time to do, like, everything else.
Kyoto and Osaka. Because I think, like, we're not going to swing that this
trip.
No,
there's no way. Unless we go for like a month.
Because we would have to be there for at least 3 weeks to swing that just on top of the con. But yeah, it kind of was like, oh, well, like we're planning for this to be our one and done trip to Japan. But maybe we're going to love it so much that we're going to say, oh, like we're going to want to go back one day.
Well, Alex, we're going to enter our travel era.
Mm.
And we'll just go back.
Yeah.
When you become an American citizen and I suddenly start making double a teacher salary, we'll enter our travel era. All right. So I think with that, it is time to talk about the Bad Bachelor, Crossdad, Hunter with his teeny tiny little waist. Listen, I see you animators. I see what you're doing.
Why were they so weird about it in episode 9?
The way Hunter stands lately,
like, and,
like even like the way they zoom in like on his fingers. There's a scene where he's like on the ground with his like legs open. It's like, what are we doing?
Yeah, episode 9 was like really suggestive on the Hunter front.
Yes.
What was happening?
So much. I think Hunter is having an awakening, is what's happening. I think he's entering.
One of those animators, like, really.
He's entering his hot to go Chapel Roan era.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And you know for a fact, if the animators got away with that, like, behind the scenes, they were, like, in their group chats making him do, like, all kinds of other things that didn't make it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm talking as experienced as an animator, like, the animator group chat of memes and, like, posing out the characters doing, like, funny or suggestive things, like, is a thing.
Oh, my God.
So they probably have a folder full of memes and screenshots of Hunter.
That is hysterical. And it will never see the light of day. And that's probably for the best. So we have episodes 8 and 9, which is Bad Territory and The Harbinger. And these episodes both go hand in hand. They lead off one right into the other. And I think that's really telling because next week we get a two-parter episode once again. I think it's kind of wild because we just had a two-parter before these two episodes. So I feel like the arcs are starting to get, like, really tight and, like, interwoven. And they're giving us a lot of information kind of all at once. I think the biggest thing with Bad Territory, so first of all, we open up with Fee giving us some information. This is the first time we've seen Fee at all this season.
Yeah, she's a widow.
She is a widow. Yeah, people were pointing out that she says, like, Tech's name instead of, like, calling him by, like, his, like, a nickname or, like, things like that. Like, I think we're going to see a lot of Fee coming up because we know there's going to be a fight on Pabu that hasn't happened yet. And I think she'll be there for that. But I also, I'm sorry, but, like, Tech's not dead. Like, again, they're just, if Tech was dead, why are we feeling his presence everywhere? Tech is in the room with us right now.
And we didn't get to see the super soldier Tech in these episodes.
No, but somebody did point out every time there's a shot of Crosshair, Wrecker, and Hunter all standing together, there is always a gap.
A gap. Where Tech would be.
There's always a gap. Like, the writers and the animators are constantly reminding us, hey, look, Tech's not here. Like, yeah. They will not let us forget that Tech is missing. And even, like, when you see the three of them, there's just such a feeling of, like, who's missing? Somebody's missing. And, like, obviously Echo's not here either. And apparently something came out that said that Echo was, like, formerly a member of the Bad Batch. Is that what
Wikipedia said?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
I think so. I mean, Mother left. We knew that Echo was an absentee grandmother. But I feel betrayed.
Maybe, like, it's more like she had, like, a secret family and she chose the other family. Right? Like, I'm like, alluding to, like, Rex and gang.
Yeah, she left her sons to go and be with Rex, found the new hot thing, and moved on. So Fee tells the Batch that they need to find a bounty hunter to learn more about whatever M count is, because that was really big in infiltration and extraction. They have to find a bounty hunter because apparently there are a lot of bounties out for individuals that supposedly have, like, an M count. I think it's really funny that when they go, like, Fee's on the phone, right? And they're like, oh, Fee's here. And Crosshair's like, who? And then they're like, oh, we can contact Fennec. And he's like, who? He just doesn't know who anybody is. I think that's also just to remind, like, the viewer who these people are. But, like, he's missed so much. And I think that's kind of, like, part of his storyline in this episode is that he was gone for a really long time. And a lot of, you know, horrible things happened to him, but he also missed a lot from, like, his brother's lives and from Omega's life.
Yeah, like, relationships have developed. You know, they've had a lot of experiences without him that kind of brought them together, and, like, he's still kind of, like, that outcast.
Yeah, like, I definitely think that he still feels apart. There's a scene, I think it's episode 9, like, he's helping somebody on a boat, like, him and Wrecker are both helping, and, like, the person is, like, you know, like, oh, thanks, Crosshair, and Wrecker's like, oh, you made a friend, and blah, 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 but, like, Crosshair, like, really brushes it off. Like, I think he just still kind of feels like he doesn't quite fit, but he does when Omega's there. Like, Omega's kind of, like, that calming presence that's, like, holding the Batch together.
I also, like, feel like there is some guilt he has, and he kind of doesn't feel like he deserves to be with them because of the things he did. And I think Omega brings a confidence to him to feel more belonging, and that, like, yeah, you know, he can return from the bad things he did, and he is, like, she sees him as redeemed, you know? And when she's not there, he doesn't feel that as much.
Yeah, I agree with you. This episode is split kind of into two parts because Hunter and Wrecker leave to track down Fennec and Omega and Crosshair stay. And I kind of want to start with Omega and Crosshair since theirs isn't quite as involved, and we're kind of talking about it anyway. Hunter specifically tells Omega to try to get Crosshair to, like, get his hand looked at, and, like, immediately the next scene with them is him getting his hand looked at. Like, I think he's still so guarded when it comes to, like, Hunter, but, like, with Omega, it's, like, he knows that, like, he needs to have his hand looked at, and he's and told he needs that...
therapy.
Yeah, like, he needs therapy. Like, his hand, they're like, yeah, there is something up with your hand, but, like, it's kind of feels like more of, like, a mental block, and he is very, like, against that notion. He's like, no, my hand is, like, literally shaking. What do you mean? It's not in my mind, you know? But he's just so, like, traumatized by the things that he's done that he physically can't, like, shoot anymore. And I think it'll be really powerful when we see him, like, shoot steady. And I am willing to bet that that's going to have something to do with Omega when he's finally able to kind of overcome that block. I also really like that Omega tells him that she knows what'll help him, and he's like, I'm not gonna like it, am I? And she's like, you don't like anything. And he just immediately is like, yeah, true. So true.
That part was really funny.
That was so cute.
Their, like, relationship's so good.
She knows him so well, and he's just so, like, real with her. Cross dad. Yeah.
Like, she's really, like, the emotional support he's always needed, and I think he never got that from the Batch.
No. Well, I think there's still the notion of they gave up on him, and Omega never did. And I think even though, like, everything is forgiven, I don't think he has let that go. I don't necessarily think he resents the Batch for giving up on him, but I definitely think he is still like, I deserved to be gave up on.
Yeah. That's what I was saying with the, like, the guilt and how he doesn't feel like he deserves to be back with the Batch.
Yeah. But Omega helps him feel like he's, like, it's okay for him to be here. And, like, he truly, like, it's so weird to say, like, I kind of feel like he's taken on what we used to see from Hunter, where when it comes to Crosshair, like, if it's gonna put Omega in danger, it's an immediate no. And, like, even when it comes to Metachlorians or, like, the M-Count, he's like, I don't really care what that is. What does it matter? Like, we're not gonna give Omega up. Like, who cares what it is? Like, he doesn't want to do anything that's going to risk her safety, which is true for the entire Batch, but, like, Crosshair is, like, really like, he said that he was worse than Hunter.
Do you think that Hunter is jealous that Omega's having, like, kind of, like, a father-daughter relationship with Crosshair?
I think so. I think...
because that was him.
Yeah.
He's like, that should be me.
I kind of think that that is, like, the heart of Hunter's story. Is that, because we've talked about this before, right? Like, all he wants is for Omega to be happy and for Omega to, like, live a normal childhood, which isn't possible, right? And I think he hasn't thought about what he wants in a long time. And, like, you know, Echo, like, wanted him to join Rex, and so did Wrecker, and so did Tech, and he wouldn't do it. And I think he's kind of now stuck in this spot where, like, not that Omega's outgrown him, because she hasn't, but, like, you know, it, like, he might be feeling like he's been replaced, but he's still not fully, like, ready to let go.
Yeah. He's not, like, as forgiving as Omega. Like, he's not quite there yet.
No. And I just, like... I never would have thought that, like, the Bad Batch would give, like, such, like, a nuanced, like, character arc in that. Like, it's just, it's really good. It's very, very good. But the rest of the Pabu plot is basically just Omega teaching Crosshair how to meditate, which she learned on Kashyyyk, which, again, Crosshair doesn't know about. And he was like, you've been
He's like, you've been to Kashyyyk?
Like,
I was like, oh my God.
Like, she's had all these, like, even in that moment, like, you see that, and she's, like, so confident and sure of herself. Like, she's grown up so much. Like, she has had a lot of experiences.
I guess, like, that's the thing on the other hand is, like, Hunter wants her to have a normal childhood, but she's had all these valuable experiences. Like, on the other hand, even though that sometimes they've been, like, adult experiences, like, she's seen the world. Like, yeah. She's seen, because she's helped people in need. Like, she's done important things.
Well, and you could also look at it as, like, since Crosshair's learning all this for the first time, like, he's seeing all this as where Omega's at now. Like, she's grown, she's matured. But Hunter, I think, still sees Omega as that little girl who, like, needed to be saved. Yeah,
that's a good observation. That, like, Omega feels close with him because he, like, sees her, like, as an adult, or respects her more as, like, not so childish, like, doesn't infantilize her, like, maybe Hunter does a little bit.
And, well, like, I would even argue to a certain extent, like, Wrecker does, too, because, like, that's pointed out in episode 9 that, like, it's told to her that she hasn't been able to, like, grow into, like, a person that she could become because she has overprotective shadows. Not that Crosshair is not overprotective, but he is starting from a different place with her. It's just, like...
That's a really interesting dynamic.
It's a really...
that, like, all her, like, dads treat her differently.
Yeah.
And the Crosshair being the one that probably gives her the most respect and, like, trust. Like, just sees her as, like, a human being rather than a little girl.
That hurts my heart so much because, like, Hunter is, like, still, like, Omega's dad to me. Yeah. But, like, I don't know what Hunter's doing right now. I don't think he does either. He's, like, in his messy era. He's still, like,
self-imploding. Yeah, and the animators are just, like, making him with his little waist and his little outfits and his little poses.
So let's talk about him, though, in this episode. So him and Wrecker go in search of Fennec Shand, and they go to Space Florida. This time it's Space Central Florida, though.
It's, like, literally, like, the Everglades.
It's literally, like, there's alligators. I am obsessed with Fennec Shand in this episode, because she is just so much cooler than them. Like, it is so clear that, like, Hunter and Wrecker are trying so hard to be, like, tough guys. And Finnick is just...
She's tougher.
She is so much tougher. She's just... She's, like...
I love how she gets them to do, like, her dirty work. Like, she's like, I'm not going in the water.
It's like, y'all are going in the water. Like, she doesn't even have to, like, try that hard.
Yeah, they just, like, do it. Like, well, don't question her that much.
Well, like, after they, like... So... In exchange for getting the information that they want, they're going to help Fennec take down, like, a really hard bounty.
Mantis?
Yeah.
The hard bounty is literally a mantis man.
And his name is, like, Skyler or Siler or something. Yeah, he's, like, literally a praying mantis. And she says that he's particularly slippery. But, like... They help her take him down, and they're able to do it. And Wrecker's like, wow, you were right. You definitely needed us. And she's like, I'm always right. It's like, don't tell me what I already know. Like, thanks. She also refuses to call them by their real names, even though I know she knows their names.
Yeah, she does.
It's always Tracker and whatever your name is. Like...
Yeah.
Listen... I think the nature of Fennec is that she can be shipped with literally anyone.
Yeah.
The first
she
time
she just has that kind of
she does
chemistry.
So does our other character, which we'll talk about. The first time I watched this episode, I was like, man, I'm kind of shipping Wrecker and Fennec. And then the second time I watched it, I was like, man, I'm kind of shipping Hunter and Fennec.
Really? I think I'm on the Wrecker train.
I think that Hunter could use a strong woman in his life. Maybe not for a long time.
He is so untrusting of her, though.
You know, I think that he I don't know how to say this.
Like in a PG way?
Yes. I like it, it, even if it was just like one time, I think that he would learn so much from the experience, you know? And then Finnick is kind of like,
he's like way too uptight in this episode. That wouldn't happen.
He is. Finnick is kind of like, you know, like Harry Styles in that she appears when you need her most. And then she's gone.
What? Finnick is like Harry Styles.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. But that's just so funny.
You know, and she just like, she doesn't give them like anything. Like they're talking to her and then like Wrecker thinks that he's like talking smack and he's like, oh, even Omega got away from you. And she's like, well, apparently she got away from you. And it was like, oh.
Yeah. And she's that. Like, I let her go when I was told. Like, yeah. I could have had her.
Well, and then they're like, oh, so you'll work for good guys and bad guys. Doesn't care when all the money's the same. And she's like, they're like, well, money's not everything. And she's like, yeah, that's really easy to say when you don't have any.
Yeah, she called them broke.
She just called them poor. I love that for her. Like, I think she would be such an amazing, rich aunt to Omega, you know?
Yeah. Like, so are we, we're putting her in the aunt position now?
I think she's in an auntie position. Like, okay. She's got Fee and she's got Finnick, which...
But, like, Echo isn't her mother. She's, like, aunt
grandmother. Echo's grandmother.
No, but Echo is mother to... Oh, wait, yeah, you're right.
No, but, like, if she married one of the batch, then yeah, Echo would be mother-in-law. Yeah, I was going to
say, she gives energy that she's not blood-related, but she married into the family. Yeah.
She does. She gives, like, situationship energy.
Yeah.
Like, she really does. Like, I feel like Hunter is going to just be, like, on the Marauder and just, like, message her out of the blue, and it's gonna be like, Hunter, don't. What are you doing? Hunter, that's a toxic, like, situationship.
Like, he's like, you up.
Where's my hug at? When they capture him, Finnick is just like, yeah, whatever, I'll get you your intel. And they're like, well, where is it? We want it now. And she's like, you're gonna have to wait. I'm gonna have to track it down for you. And it ends with her in her ship calling her contact and telling her, like, what went down. And, like, mm-hmm. at the end of that episode, everybody was like, it's Ventress. And then at the beginning of episode 9, it was Ventress.
We've been saying, like, since they revealed the names of the episodes, like, the Harbinger was going to be Ventress.
Yes. Like, I think they did a really good job, like, not leaking that it was going to be Ventress, but, like, everybody knew. And then as soon as the episode came out, like, Star Wars Twitter, like, spoiled it immediately.
I know. They tweeted immediately. I was like, I mean, I knew, but why?
I know.
Also, like, what do you think? Do you think that they should have revealed Ventress in that trailer? Or how would it have gone if we left off episode 8 with that call and then there would have been speculation for a week about who it was? And then everyone would have been surprised about Ventress.
I agree. I do wonder, like, obviously, like, Ventress being in the actual Bad Batch trailer got, like, a lot of hype for Bad Batch. But mm-hmm. I think you can make an argument that, like, she didn't need to be in that trailer. Because, like, it would have been so impactful.
Could you imagine, like, turning the TV on Wednesday and seeing Ventress?
I mean, like, I am kind of glad that some of the discourse about why she's alive had already happened.
Yeah. And they did say this week that it would later be revealed in some sort of format.
Well, and Christy Golden has, like, tweeted quite a bit, actually, about this. And she's the one who wrote Dark Disciple. Well, obviously, written by Dave Filoni.
So I've seen a lot of people speculate that the, what's the other show called?
Oh, Tales of the Jedi.
Yeah. That's where it's going to be revealed.
I swear to God, could you imagine it's Tales of the Jedi and it's Ventress and Voss?
It'd be crazy.
Like, it's like What if it's, like, telling, like, two sides of a story and then, like, in the final episode they find each other? Could you imagine? God. Okay, we gotta get this out of the way. Everybody ships Ventress and Crosshair. And I get it. Ventress, once again, like Fennec, is a character that can be shipped with anybody.
She's very flirty.
She's very flirty.
She loves to flirt.
However, she is married.
Yes.
Yes. I will never tell anybody what they can and cannot ship. However, if you don't, if you ship her with anybody other than Voss, you haven't read Dark Disciple. Like, I can't. They're endgame. Like, I...
mm-hmm. And if you don't already know, we love Dark Disciple. We both recently reread it.
Yeah, we reread it before Bad Batch, like, even started. Like, just to be ready.
I just love her look. Her outfit. Her hair. She looks awesome.
I love they pointed out that the, so she has a snake on a piece of armor on her shoulder, and one of the creators pointed out that she has that because snakes are also misunderstood creatures. Yeah. And I, like...
And people said it was her reputation era.
I mean, I think...
Because the old Ventress is dead.
Ventress why? Is the because embodiment...
Because the old Ventress is dead.
Ventress is the embodiment of reputation, though. Like, hard on the outside, soft on the inside.
You're so right.
I'm she so right.
She is, like, so reputation.
Voss is king of her heart.
Like, very romantic, but on the outside, like, you don't know that.
Yeah. No, mm-hmm. like, literally, mm-hmm. like, I can't think of a single song off of Reputation that is not Ventress-coded. I think Reputation was actually written about Ventress because Taylor Swift is a number one Ventress fan. Obviously. So, yeah, I started the notes here with Happy Easter, Ventress has risen, because she's back. The tomb was empty.
It is pretty funny that, like, this episode is released, like, Easter week.
Yeah.
Like, don't you think that's funny?
That is funny. Because, like, she is supposed to, like, for those of you guys who don't know, like, we have, like, a whole episode about Dark Disciple, but Ventress did die at the end of Dark Disciple. And it actually, I feel like, has been speculated before that she lived.
Well, there was a time when they wanted to put Ventress into Resistance.
Yeah.
Remember those rumors?
Yeah.
And then Resistance obviously was canceled, so that never happened. But they wanted to bring her back for Resistance.
Yeah.
So that means she lives through the war.
I really like that they bring her back without... bringing all that up, because, like, the Bad Batch wouldn't have known, right? Like,
yeah, no one really knows she died.
Nobody knew that she died. I think Obi-Wan was there, mm-hmm. But, like, it's not really, like, a big thing, and so I'm glad that they didn't bring it back. All they did at the very end was say, like, she said that she still has more lives, like a cat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I have a lot more lives.
Yeah.
I was like, that's funny. Yeah. Yeah.
So I liked that. Like, they didn't need to give me... like, even if I hadn't read the book or, like, knew anything, like, all it would make me want to do is, like, go read the book. So, like, I would know. And yeah. I really, really liked that. But she finally tells them what an M-count is, which we already know. It's metachlorians. I did like that they used the word metachlorians. I feel like they haven't used that since, like, Phantom Menace. And the fact that Phantom Menace is getting re-released in theaters, like, I can feel the metachlorian energy right now. And she did mention that everybody has an M count. Like, there's not a single living being that does not have an M count, which I'm glad that they've brought back, because I think for a while it was kind of like, you either have the Force or you don't, but it's like, oh no, you just have, like, a stronger affinity for it or not. And that if the Empire thinks you have a high M count, they're tracking you down. Like, it's not just Omega, like, they're tracking down all the remaining Jedi and Force users.
Yeah. I, like, it's interesting to think about that, because we know in this era they're looking for all Force users, but I've never really given it thought before the Bad Batch that it's like, oh, like, we can track down people with their DNA.
Yeah.
Like, this is how we're going to find them, with DNA matches. Well, like, that's crazy.
And this is Jedi Fallen Order time, too, isn't it?
Yeah.
So this is, like, the Inquisitor's time. Like, at the end of Jedi Fallen Order, they find that map that has, like, all Force users on it. So, like, this is even getting into, like, connecting those dots, which is really interesting.
Yeah.
I'd
love to know, like, also, if they have, like, a library of Jedi DNA, like, is that something that was ever kept at the temple, let's say? And if the Empire got their hands on that and that's how they made their list, like, you know, it's kind of interesting.
That is interesting because it's like, it's not just like a list of like known Jedi. It's also like, oh, if you have like a certain amount of midichlorians in your blood, then.
Because like how else, like, do they ever explain how they like find Jedis to bring to Coruscant?
No.
Like, I don't think so. You, like in the most cases, it's like do they just like hear talk of like a kid who is exhibiting powers? Like, how do they find people? Like, at, well, and like, they 1 or 2 years so old,
young too.
Yeah. Like, so like, do they? Is there a database, like a medical database, basically?
Okay, but like, could you imagine? Like, that is very like, that's still very like Empire for the Jedi to have like a system of like, oh, for every baby that's born, they have to be tested. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of icky, which totally makes sense that Yoda would set something like that up. Like, he totally would.
Yeah, it's like babies being born in the hospital and the Jedi's like have asked like basically the governments to like provide them with lists of babies being born.
Yeah, and like you can't really say, I don't want my child to be trained. I mean, I guess you can, but like in the prequels era, it doesn't really sound like it's an option.
It seems like to a lot of cultures that it's like kind of glory. Like if your kid was selected, like that's kind of like a glory that you couldn't say no to.
Yeah. Or like, you know, oh, your child is going to be like in danger. Like they have to go to the Jedi to like be protected.
Yeah, they manipulate parents into taking the kids.
That's like really...
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. That's a lot. Well, and we know from the High Republic that there are a lot of cultures that
don't see it that way.
They hate the Jedi because they take their children. Like,
yeah.
That's really interesting. Like, I wonder if we'll ever see, like, more about that. Because I feel like they kind of gloss over that. I feel like even the creators are like, I don't know what to say about that right now. Because we know, like, with Anakin, it's like he was too old, so he was supposed to be taken earlier, and I imagine there's probably a lot of kids that probably slip through the system. Yeah. I would imagine. So, and like with Omega, like it does, you know, Ventress says, like, I've never heard of a clone having force abilities, but like obviously she's like very much like it's not out of the question that you wouldn't have them or yours wouldn't be heightened. And that kind of goes with a lot of people's theories that like she was specifically created with like force abilities.
And whose like DNA would they grab midichlorians from to make her? Would it be Palpatine? Would it be,
oh my god, I swear to god if she's like another Palpatine clone, oh my god, do you think that's where we're going?
Well, it could be like Sifo Dyas, right?
It could, yeah.
Yeah, like, she could be another Palpatine clone.
I wonder if you can manipulate the midichlorians without, like...
Yeah, maybe.
Well, because that's the thing. Like, there's a lot of, like, varying texts on, like, what midichlorians are. Like, some of the information says that they're, like, living beings. Some say, like, they're other things. Like, I wonder if you could, like, scientifically, like, make the midichlorians in somebody's blood, like... replicate themselves, and then you have like an artificially high M count, like if that's how it happened, or if she was like a clone that came from somebody else. Like, there's a lot of questions with that. Omega is very excited at being what she thinks to be a Jedi, though. She's very excited about this.
Yeah.
I mean, who wouldn't be? Who wouldn't be excited?
Yeah.
So she makes her do a bunch of tests. Ventress makes Omega do some tests, like standing on one leg and balancing a piece of fruit on your head. And while she's doing this, the Batch read Ventress's file and realize who she is because they're like super sus. And
they're also sus, like, how did she find them?
Yes. Which, like, I
how
think.
How did she find Pabu?
I think that is more important than who she is, but the Batch historically focus on the wrong thing. historically, it's like, bestie, you have bigger problems. Like, because when Ventress is like, oh man, they know who I am, like, they're gonna be mad, she sends Omega on like a fetch quest, which yeah. I do not think this was not part of the test. No. She just wanted her to go away for a little bit. She's like, go run up this hill and get a flower and be back before the sun sets. All right, bye. And literally after reading this file, I have to laugh. The Bacts are like, yeah, we can take her. Let's find
Ventress. Yeah, I know, right. Like, you read Ventress' file and you're like, she's not that bad.
She's not that
bad. Like, she's bad, but we can take her.
They're like, we've fought worse. It's like, no, you have not. She wipes the floor with these gentlemen.
It's like, honestly, so funny, that scene, the fight scene.
It's so, well, and it's like so effortless. Like, she didn't even break a sweat.
She has no issue.
And I think she, more than anything, she's just annoyed, right? Like,
yeah, she's like, can we just like both, like, we're both here for the same reasons to like see what's going on with Omega. Like, just like leave us.
Yeah. Like, well, and like, they assume the worst of her immediately. They're like, oh, she has her own agenda. They keep asking her, like, what do you really want with Omega and, like, all this kind of stuff. And at no point did I ever think Ventress had a separate agenda.
No.
Like, I truly think she was always there to help.
I honestly think that Ventress is protective of young Force users just because of things she's gone through. She had a really traumatic childhood.
Yeah.
And I think that she really does have, like, a spot in her heart for, like, Force-sensitive kids.
I think so, too. Like, I could see, you know, like, the work that Voss is doing in Kenobi with, like, helping.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah. Like, that would be something that Ventress would be very passionate about.
Like, they could even be setting it up so it makes sense that Ventress is working on that. Like, that's where this could be going.
Oh, my God.
Honestly, it could be, though. Yeah.
That is something that she would be all about. Because she says in that, because they're like, who's, like, I don't know whose side you're on. And she's like, I'm on my side. Mm-hmm. Like, she says, we were pawns in the same war and we all lost. Like, she's the first one, I feel like, to admit that we were all fighting in this war and nobody won. And she's like, the Empire is worse than you think it is. Nobody won this war except for Palpatine. Like, he's the only one who won. We all lost. It's like, it doesn't matter if you were a separatist, if you were, you know, with the Republic. Like, unless you were Palpatine, we lost. And I do think it's high time for Hunter, specifically, to recognize that. Like, it's not
that
just
he needs to join the fight.
Yeah.
Because Omega's not going to have that life he wants for her. Unless,
no.
Like, they beat the Empire.
And they're going to keep on coming after her. Like, unless you just want to keep on running, which eventually they're going to catch back up with you. Like, they already caught her once, you know? There's only so much running you can do. So, after this, Ventress takes Omega out on a little boat to go commune with nature, and Ventress is like trying to help her like commune and all that kind of stuff, and she accidentally calls a sea monster, and this, it's literally the inverse of her telling Voss to go kill the sleeper.
I know.
Instead of killing the sea creature, she
like becomes like peaceful with it.
Yeah, like,
she brings peace over it. Yeah.
Like, Ventress was used, like, that's like a light side ability.
Yeah. Oh my God, you're right.
Like,
I didn't think about it that way, that she was using the light side.
Yeah.
In this episode. Like, all throughout the episode, pretty much. Like, except for when she was choking. yeah. That was not light side.
I feel like Ventress is, like, for a while, I think it was supposed, like, it was almost Ahsoka kind of showing us this duality, but I feel like Ventress really embodies it, where she doesn't,
oh my God, she embodies it so much better than Ahsoka.
Yeah, well, she's not a light sider, but she's also not a dark sider anymore. Like, she uses both. And that is true balance. And we've always said that. And I just think it could have implications. I still think so it could have some implications. So you're telling
me that Ventress is, like, the ultimate force user?
I think so. Honestly, I do. And if they want, if they still have all these plans to, like, continuously bring Ventress back, like, we talked about, like, well, like, what if Ventress is in the Rey movie? Like, I think this would be a very insane character for Rey to meet.
Yeah. I'm honestly really scared to see Ventress in live action because I kind of don't want certain filmmakers directing her or writing her. But, uh-huh. like, maybe the Rey movie could be something that I would like.
Maybe. Maybe. I don't know. But after this, so Ventress tells Omega, like, sorry, not sorry, your M count is actually low. And Wrecker takes Omega away and Crosshair's immediately like, you're lying. And Ventress does not say specifically yes or no that she's lying. She just says, like, listen, if she did have a high M count, the Empire would not stop. So you guys need to leave. And she also says, if she really did have a high M count, she would need to go away and be trained. Do you think that's where we're going? Is her leaving the Bad Batch?
No.
No?
This is like Grogu all over again.
I know. I saw a lot of that. I do wonder, though, because, like, I feel like they kept bringing it up in this episode that, like, Omega isn't, like, fully independent. Yeah. Because, and, like, we've talked about it with, like,
you know. So you think that, like, there's a possibility she could go with Ventress and Voss with the, like, whole path thing where they're helping Force users escape?
I don't know. I feel like Omega has, like, a really big, like, life ahead of her. And I don't want to say that, like, Hunter would hold her back, but I do kind of feel like Hunter either needs to realize this and go along with her journey, or he's gonna get left behind.
Yeah, it's sad thinking of them all getting separated.
I know, and I don't want them to all get separated.
The more we talk about it, I could see it happening.
I know.
And it being, like, this, like, really beautiful finale in a lot of sense and makes sense, but I would be sad, but I also would respect that decision to go that way. And I would be sobbing. Finale, I'm sitting there sobbing because she's saying goodbye to them.
But I also feel like even if she did that, like, I don't think it would be goodbye forever.
Yeah.
Like, I think I could see this ending with them, like, you know, our four that are left, not including Echo, like, seeing that they all have this different role to play, and, like, maybe that means that they're not all together, but that doesn't mean that, like, they'll never see, like, each
they
other.
They can join Rex and actually, like, make the, like, the, defeat the Empire, basically.
Yeah.
Like, they split up until the war is done. I don't know.
That's really sad, but it's also, like, I really trust, like, these writers to, like, give it the weight and the meaning that it deserves, mm-hmm. instead of just separating them, like, to separate them, you know what I mean? So I don't know. Like, obviously I want them all to be together, but I do kind of think that Omega is gonna strike out on her own. And, I mean, like, maybe we'll get, like, a book or something about, like, Omega's, you know, like, coming of age or something like that, but I don't know. It makes me really sad. The last thing that Ventress tells them is that they need to leave Pabu, and it's not as safe as they think. So a lot of the speculation online has been that our next two-parter is going to finally be that big battle that we see on Pabu.
Yeah, they're found.
Like, also, we saw in the trailer that the Marauder is going to blow up. Like, you know? Our next episodes are called Identity Crisis and Point of No Return, and I am stressed about that.
Yeah, I'm scared. It's going to be scary.
Apparently, it's going to get darker. Like, and listen, like, we've talked about this. Like, you can give me so much angst and then, like, at the very last second, like, restore all hope, and I will be so happy. Like, that's fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, we do know the ex-trooper is going to be back because we saw him in the trailer. Identity Crisis. It's goggleless tech.
Oh, do you think that it's going to be revealed?
It could be. What if it is? Like, Point of No Return emphasizes that, like, we cannot return to the happy calm that we have on Pabu. And that could mean several things. It could mean that Pabu no longer exists. It could mean that the batch have all been separated. It could mean that the Marauder explodes. It could mean that, like, you know, Winter Soldier tech is revealed. It could be all of these things. But there is no going back after next week. Everything's going to change. Point
of no return. No return.
Everything's going
to
change.
No return to Pabu.
Whose identity crisis are we having? I'm having an identity crisis.
I think tech.
Who else could it be? Like, I just don't know who else it could be. Unless it's, like, Crosshair again with, like, them and, like reactivating a chip or, like, I don't know. But I think it's going to be tech.
But he doesn't have a chip in his head anymore, does he?
I don't think so. I think they took it out. Because he was, like, you know, he was loyal to the Empire. I don't know. I'm very stressed. I'm, like, this season has been so good. And I think it's interesting because, like, when it leaves off, like, obviously, like, the Bad Batch is over. But, like, what door is it going to open? Like, is it going to lead into new stories? Like, some people have said that they think animation next will do, like, Rex's side of the rebellion, which I am kind of whatever
about.
I would
love for them to do another High Republic show.
Like, I would, too. I would
love
that.
I know there's,
that.
Like, Jedi Young Adventures, but do one, like, at, like, Rebels, like, yeah, kind of age group.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in that style, High Republic show, and it can take place at a different point than the Acolyte.
It can even take place during, like, the actual, like, books, even, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you could pick some of those Jedi or tell some other different story. It could take place, like, there's 150
years. And I do think that, like,
in between, like,
those characters could translate so well to animation because there's so much concept design that was done for the books.
Yeah.
So they already have primary concepts. They would just have to figure out how they would look in the style of, like, Clone Wars or Rebels, mm-hmm, kind of thing.
There's so much art that has gone into High Republic.
Yeah, like, they paid artists to do all that work. Like, they could go even further with it. They,
I think that would be amazing. Because it's, like, it would be so cool. And there's,
can
so much
time. Can you imagine, like, Path of Deceit and, like, Path of Vengeance but animated?
Okay, but, like, I could envision them doing something with, like, the Evereni. Like,
yeah.
I could see that.
Yeah, I think it would be more interesting to just go completely in the other direction and not continue doing, like, rebellion stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I still really don't think they'll touch, like, Resistance time period, like, sequel time,
yeah,
period, until we have the Rey movie.
Because,
mm-hmm, like, it's so, we still have, like, no idea, like, where any of that is going. And, like, sometimes I, like, feel super good about the Rey movie, and then other times I feel really bad about the Rey,
yeah,
movie.
Yeah. And High Republic is such a sandbox.
It is. Like, you could do
so
many
much.
Things. And, like I was saying, like, there's so much time, like, between phase two, which was, like, in the past, and Acolyte, there's, like, 250 years or, like, 300 years,
yeah,
of time.
Yeah, they could do so much.
Yeah.
And I just, like, think that, like, or even, like, the Nameless would be so cool in animation.
Yeah. And, like, the effect that the Nameless have where it makes, like, Jedi, like, go crazy, mm-hmm, with fear. Or, like, to see, like, the Dren gear even. I miss the Dren gear.
Yeah.
I'd like for them to come back.
I think that, yeah, like, seeing the Nameless. Oh my God.
I do think that if the series ends and Omega strikes out on her own, I would definitely want to see her have, maybe not, like, a show, but, like, definitely, like, books or something.
Yeah.
Like, or like to see her like when she's grown up, like see her like as an adult. Like, I don't know. I have a lot of questions. Is there anything else about these episodes that you think we need to cover?
I don't think so. I think we just need to mentally prepare for the mid-season.
Mid-season, girl, we have passed the mid-season.
I know, but it's like mid-season in the sense that we're getting a double episode and it's going to be like a big deal.
After this week, we'll only have like 4 more episodes.
Wow.
Yeah, you know. I don't know what to do.
We have like a month left of Bad Batch, and then it's over forever.
And then it's over forever. Yeah. My brain just went, what if somebody else dies? And my brain's like, no, nobody else is going to die.
No, if anything like bittersweet happens, it's the separation of them from Omega.
That will kill me. It will. I'm going to be like that meme where you're like laying on the floor in the puddle of your own tears. Like that'll be me. Well, anyway, I think that's going to do it for this episode of Lipstick and Lightsabers. If you'd like to keep the conversation going, you can find us pretty much always on Twitter or Instagram at lip_lightsabers. I am at McCarter Shannon and Alex is at Alex Leonis. And we'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.